Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I'm excited to be moderating today's webinar on where are the greatest opportunities for collection agencies to make the most money. Probably wins the title for the shortest webinar title ever. Collection agencies should always be looking to expand their business either into new geographic markets or new types of debt or even new products and services. But deciding which option to take can be a difficult decision. Excuse me. In this webinar, which is being generously sponsored by the IntelliTech Group, a panel of senior executives from across the accounts receivable management industry are with us today to share their insights into the expansion opportunities that they feel offer the best possible returns. I wanted to take a quick minute and say a few words about AccountsRecovery.net. AccountsRecovery.net is a news and information platform for the ARM industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of email newsletters, hosts webinars like this one, and offers a number of exciting podcasts for the ARM industry. The site is free for anyone in the industry to use and is a great resource of news and insights to help educate and inform. I hope you'll all spend a few minutes every day checking out what it's got to offer. Now, let me tell you a little bit about today's speakers. Bonnie Allen is the president of Hawthorne Recovery Services, a company she founded in 2008, holding both a scholar and fellow designations for continuing education from ACA International. Bonnie is a past president of the Missouri Collectors Association and is on the board of directors and sponsorship chairman for the Show Me chapter of the Healthcare Financial Management Association. Bonnie has spent more than 3 decades in the credit collection industry, working her way up from a computer programmer to owning her own firm. Stephen Fernstall is the president of Stoneley Recovery Associates, a debt recovery solutions company. Stephen is responsible for the strategic initiatives, operations, and executive management at the company. He's been actively involved in the credit collection industry for the past 27 years. Stoneley Recovery Associates is a mid-sized first and third-party debt collection agency that has been serving the industry for 11 years. Courtney Renault is the president of Creditors Bureau USA. She's a third-generation debt collector, and over the past 18 years, her career has allowed her to wear many different hats within the collection industry. Her professional experience is rooted in the healthcare industry with a special understanding of law and consumer rights. Courtney is currently serving as president of the California Association of Collectors. The format for today's webinar will be a panel discussion. We encourage everybody to submit questions and we'll get to them when the discussion has concluded or when the time permits during the discussion. To submit a question, please enter it into the question tab on your Zoom webinar control panel. This event is being recorded, and a recording will be made available later today on accountsrecovery.net on the webinar recordings page. Finally, I want to ask everyone to take a minute and fill out the survey that should pop up on your screen after today's webinar is over. You will also receive a link via email tomorrow to access the survey. That email will also have a link to access a white paper from the sponsor of today's webinar, the IntelliTech Group. Participating in the survey helps me develop content that's what you're looking for, and make sure we find the speakers you want to hear from. With that, let's launch into today's discussion. Let's start at a very broad level first, and let me ask, what types of debt are offering the best opportunities to collection agencies today? And maybe talk a little bit about if that's changed from, say, in the past 6 or 12 months. And Stephen, since you're up on my screen right now, why don't you take us away first?
Fantastic. Well, I think the obvious answer is medical, as since the introduction of the ACA came about, growth has been exploding, and they're expecting it to explode, continue to expand over the next, 3 to 5 years. But where I see the greatest opportunity and where it's changed over the last 6 months is within the credit card arena. A lot of the banks are looking at selling once again. And if anyone is familiar with the credit card market, most of the agencies were eliminated from the pool of companies that creditors used to reduce risk when the CFPB came about. So I think that is probably the greatest area of opportunity. I would think that with this introduction of the possibility of the Warren bill coming through, we may see quite a bit of contraction within the student loan market, though.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, Courtney, we do mostly Bonnie. It's Courtney. Our office does mostly medical collections, but being the president of the California Association of Collectors, a lot of our members are in various markets. Obviously, student loans is a big one. Government type debt is another big one, although more difficult to get into. Also just different types of commercial debt, as well as property management type debt. So those are the things that we see a lot of, as well as collection on judgments and things like that throughout the other agencies. But our niche market in my office is medical.
And I would say the same. You covered the two industries that I was going to add to the list, and that was property management and government. I'll break out government a little bit more. We're mostly medical, but I am seeing a trend towards not the federal government, but the state and the local governments are becoming more active in pursuing their unpaid bills, and that would also include utilities, municipal.
Excellent. Thank you, Steve. I'm not sure if you saw today's news. He mentioned Senator Warren's bill. Senator Sanders has a bill to wipe out all student loan debt, not just.
Yeah, I was just reading about that this morning, and I started to cringe a little.
Since everyone here mentioned medical debt, maybe we can drill down a little bit. You know, are there areas within medical debt, specific types of medical debt, or specific sort of, I know like a lot of agencies are getting more into sort of providing back office functions, and that's something we can talk about a little bit later. But within that category, is there any way to sort of drill down a little bit into the specific opportunities that any of you might be seeing?
I think medical in general is something that's going to be a continuing long-term, growth area for agencies, unless there's some massive revamp of insurance and things like that, depending on, who's in office. That market may change slightly, but I think as things are now, our office, our niche market other than medical is that radiology laboratory and reference type area versus dental or eye. So I would say that if you have, as an agency, if you are pursuing medical and that is your niche market, is to try to define that a little bit further. What are you better at than any other agency? And then really try to pursue those creditors more specifically.
So I can add on that a little bit as well. This is Bonnie. Hospitals, of course, make up the bigger dollars and the bigger volumes, but there are fewer hospitals than ever before in our country, and more of them are joining systems, and they're doing RFPs at a more of a national level. So it's pretty hard to break into if you don't already have existing relationships. It is still very much relationship-based. But hospitals are not the easiest to break into. Clinics and, as Courtney mentioned, specialties are much easier to break into. So you might not be thinking in terms of, say, rehab facilities for physical rehabilitation. The home healthcare market, where they're going into people's home after a surgery and helping. There's several different types of niche markets in medical that don't necessarily mean just your standard hospital and clinic.
Great. So I add on to this as well. If you haven't been in medical and this is a new market that you are looking at expanding in, it would, if you're targeting the hospitals, they're always going to look for experience first and foremost, that you can handle the volume and your phone systems are set up properly to measure the metrics that they expect. So what I started with was the debt buyer market for the self-pay, and really got a good flavor for what it meant to be in that medical arena and what type of yields we were looking at, because it's our core competency is in the financial industry with credit cards and auto. It's a much different market. The yields are lower, so you have to have a much better view of your business than in other markets. But I think that's a good place to start if you haven't had any experiences with some of the debt buyers that purchase receivables from the hospitals.
Sorry, just trying to catch up on my notes here. Okay, let's change the direction of expansion. Rather than looking sort of within verticals, let's look maybe sort of more horizontally, and let's talk geography or geographic regions. Are there different regions within the United States that any of you are seeing offer better opportunities for collection agencies these days? Bonnie, maybe you don't mind going first this time?
I don't. I have chosen strategically not to go national because of licensing requirements. And so for me, if I were to branch into a new state, or if I get a call from someone who's asking me to submit a bid, I'm looking at the state licensing and what my costs are before I do anything. And there are definitely states that I don't want to do business in because I find it just prohibitive from that standpoint.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think looking, we're also not national, though we are licensed and or have the ability to collect in about 39 states, either from licensing or just the open borders sorts of thing. But yeah, looking at that state and determining, you know, not only licensing cost, but is this one of those states that's putting out bad case law for the collection industry? Do they have a higher number than normal of plaintiff's attorneys that are filing frivolous and bulk lawsuits against collection agencies that they're having to fight? So it's not necessarily just the cost of licensing, but what is that ongoing cost of doing business in that state? And also, are the state laws governing debt collection, are they something that fits into how you're already performing debt collection? Is it something that is so outside of the norm that you couldn't possibly do collection? I mean, California just came out with the CCPA that's going to go into effect in January of 2020. What is covered under the CCPA, which is the First Privacy Act. Some of the other states have followed suit and are also and have passed similar laws, and these are all things that are going to impact who is going to want to do business in the state of California, because it really does rope in, I think, pretty much anybody in California if you're doing 50,000 accounts a year of California consumers. So that is going to affect business. And the idea of somebody from outside of the state of California choosing to come in to the state just because of the CCPA requirements.
So I have a national collection agency. And when I think of this question, I look at this as, where would I expand a office into a location? And the first thing that came to mind was some of the challenges of the talent pool that's available. It's understanding the landscape of the unemployment rate and what type of sectors dominate that market. Because I know quite a few agencies that were really, you know, prosperous within the markets that they had, and found that the talent pool dried up because the unemployment rate was so thin, and it almost became impossible to source people. So understanding, you know, the demographics of the market is really important when you're looking to expand a physical office space.
Excellent point on the labor pool. There are some, if I were going to expand, there are a couple of other resources. I think that you saw on the screen there that the ACA has resources, including the state licensing guide, which is very beneficial. And then each state has an ACA attorney that would be able to help you with determining what some of the regulations are, what they're seeing in the courts, where they see the trends going.
Excellent. Well, before we keep diving in, I'd like to pause the discussion briefly. And I'm going to invite Jason Houston from the IntelliTech Group, a sponsor of today's webinar, to say a few words. Jason?
Thanks, Mike. First off, I'm excited to be with you all and really applaud you for taking the time to confabulate with this group and the industry. I have a passion for continuous learning, and I know it's sessions like these that help us all to improve, and we can all make each other better. So that's exciting to me. My name is Jason Houston. I'm an associate partner with the IntelliTech Group. For those of you that don't know us, we've been in the industry for roughly 20 years, and our primary focus has really been you. We help collection organizations to optimize efforts for enhanced profitability. And the way that we do that is our process is relatively simple. We sit down with you to understand your goals, which usually can be summarized by higher profits and less cost, right? And then we utilize our tools such as SCORE, intelligent data, workflow optimization to help you to achieve those goals. And one of the things that's unique about us is we don't just give you the tools, but we're there every step of the way. So we're there holding your hand, making sure that you understand how to utilize the tools that we offer. And one of the ways we like to start off is we like to identify the 25% of your accounts that bring in roughly 60% or more of your revenue, and then work with you to ensure you allocate the appropriate effort and resource to not just those accounts, but all your accounts based on their profitability or yield. So often this allows businesses to increase capacity, bring on new business without adding more staff, and to scale efficiently and effectively. So we have roughly a 96% retention rate with our clients. And so truly their success has been our success. And we've enjoyed the ride this last 20 years, and we've enjoyed working with many of you probably that are even on the call today. As many of you have noted, we are offering a complimentary white paper. You've probably seen it in the slides, and that discusses three data-driven revenue growth strategies for ARM companies. It'll be available to download in an email from Mike following the webinar, so hopefully you take advantage of that. Again, I'm with the IntelliTech Group, and I'm excited to be with you and ready to continue my learning. So thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Jason. And thanks again to the IntelliTech Group for sponsoring today's webinar. Going back to the geography discussion for a minute, I think it's interesting. For those of you who don't know, I live in and work out of New Jersey. And it's a small state, but it's sort of, butts up against New York and Pennsylvania. So a lot of, there's a lot of cross-border business that goes on. So I would have thought that a natural sort of plan for collection agency would be to sort of expand into adjacent states. You start looking sort of what's the next state over and then kind of move out from there. But if I'm hearing correctly, that maybe isn't, sort of actually proximity might not be the, as much of a big factor as some of the other factors that you've listed. And I just wanted to confirm that because I found that kind of interesting. Does proximity really matter at the end of the day when you're looking to if you're looking to expand?
I think it depends on.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay. Well, I personally think that it's a matter of who you want to be as a company. It's hard to say that it's not a benefit if your company is seeking to service local companies. But for a company like mine, we handle national accounts, and we are looking more for a company placing volume on a national level than chasing smaller accounts and having a wider range of clients. I prefer the volume clients as opposed to the smaller clients, and I think that opens up other opportunities for agencies that would seek that type of business.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Go ahead.
In California, I mean, with our office being in California, we are licensed. I mean, our initial was that whole Pacific Northwest region. But with the exception of Las Vegas or Nevada. So we have chosen not to license in Nevada for several reasons, but that's really our one spot on the in that Pacific Northwest region that we're not licensed. And, you know, that kind of goes back to the discussion of what that we had earlier with regards to, you know, cost of doing business in that state, that we've just chosen that that's not where we want to expand. So I think, I mean, naturally, if you're looking to expand, you're going to be looking to expand to your states that are above, below, next, left and right of you. And I think that's really natural. And then also as you start receiving opportunities and looking into different states, that's where you might expand out from there. But I think it's all a business decision if you're not nationally licensed on where you want to go and what the cost of doing business is in that state. I also think that you have regional dialect differences and changes. So if I'm on the West Coast, I probably want to expand, you know, towards the East, but not maybe starting on the East Coast, just because of business hours and things like that, in collections. So, and just something to think about as well, if you're looking to expand into outside areas, is those regional dialect differences, as well as time zones and things like that.
I think customer service is also something that you need to look at. If you're in an industry where it does require some FaceTime or some meeting time or additional sales force to do, you know, handshaking, you've got to make that commitment. In medical, as far as hospitals go, that's a very intensive relationship. So they're going to expect FaceTime on a regular basis. So you've got, if you branch into a new state, you've got to make sure that you've figured out how you're going to do the cover the service and to maintain the client, because it's a lot more expensive to get a client than it is to keep it.
Well put, Bonnie. Appreciate that. I recently recorded a podcast on the topic of M&A, and he was at a conference, a collection conference in Canada, and he was touting the Great White North as a great opportunity for collection agencies to expand. And I know that maybe none of you have any aspirations right now of expanding internationally, but I'm curious to know if you have considered it, and if you have or haven't, sort of what was the thought process behind deciding not to, you know, not to expand or not to look, you know, outside of the United States.
Well, I guess I'll jump in here since we had a discussion.
Yeah.
Bonnie, you can go ahead. I'll hold off.
Okay. Well, I mean, we had kind of a pre-discussion on this before we got on the call, but I think for us as an agency, our opportunities here in the U.S. are big, and there's lots of opportunities. So our company personally has not considered moving out of the United States into other regions for collections. But that doesn't mean that there's not amazing opportunities that companies may want to look into and could possibly give us some feedback on if you're interested in doing that.
And Mike, I will say that your panelists here, we've all been in the industry long enough to know that we have built some serious compliance machines in the last 8 years. And so that might be part of our hesitation to take on additional markets that we know would add to that level of complexity. Sometimes I feel like I can barely keep up with what I'm doing right now, much less looking at taking it on. But I do think that if I were starting from scratch, I would certainly want to look at those markets, because for those exact reasons, that makes it ripe for someone coming into the industry or willing to invest in the structure to build it, because there's a lot of us that aren't in a position to do that. So I would think those would be good opportunities.
Yeah, so my perspective, being a company that does business on the national level, we have a couple challenges in the compliance landscape that are coming up and really unknown. We're seeing is the attorney generals of each state, the state's attorneys, and the professional licensing boards are coming up with their own version of these mini CFPBs in each state to protect consumers. So we're expecting to see a fairly large change in regulation coming up, regardless of what the CFPB puts out. And it is really hard when you're a mid-sized company to really navigate those changes and put all of the infrastructure changes in place, plus client requirements. It's a challenge in itself, and there's only so much time available that really focusing in on the opportunities that are in front of you rather than spending time speculating is where we kind of kept, you know, our focus, which is right here in the U.S.
Makes sense. I don't think there's anything wrong with those strategies. I brought it up a little bit before. I know that many agencies that collect on medical debt have expanded into other, let's call them call center operations, such as customer service calls or back office support functions. And I'm curious to get the panel's thoughts on expanding into what I'll call non-collection operations and whether there are any opportunities there. Courtney, would you mind going first?
Yeah, I mean, I think expanding into other non-collection operations is a great way to develop an entire package for your client based on their needs. And so if you have those opportunities, I think that it's something you should consider. Obviously, there is compliance, different compliance requirements surrounding, you know, first party versus third party. And so you should take all those considerations as well. And also thinking about staffing, you know, how do you manage those non-collection operations on a staffing level? But I think any time that you can create a package for your client to kind of get everything all at once is a great way to do it, as long as you can do it compliantly and cost effectively and meet what your client's needs are.
I would agree with that. The revenue cycle in the medical industry is very complex, and there are a lot of opportunities for third-party vendors to assist the facilities. They don't always have the technology and the resources within their own walls. So it's not just about early out. There are front-end point-of-service collection opportunities. There's specialty niche areas like Medicaid eligibility or maybe estate accounts or pursuing Chapter 13 bankruptcy claims. There's a very broad list in the medical arena of specialties that you can add. And the best way to find out where you want to go with that is just talk to your clients and see where their pain points are and see what you can do to assist.
What I've seen is a lot of clients are now expecting you to offer a broader range of service. Because that's what the competition is now offering. And what they're looking to do is narrow down the amount of vendors that they're using to contain their compliance risks. So I see this as an evolution of, it's something that if you're not pursuing, you probably should. There's going to be a very large amount of M&A activity as consolidation occurs in this industry. It's been occurring over the past 10 years. And I expect as these very large BPO or extended business offices, whatever you want to call it, continue to grow and take up market share, the client base is going to expect some of these package opportunities. It's really important, I think, from a technology standpoint to understand where you are and to put those investments in place for automation to relieve some of your costs. if this is the area that you're going to pursue.
Stephen, you bring up an excellent opportunity that I didn't think of before, and I apologize to everybody for not including this in the original list of discussion topics, but expansion through acquisition. You mentioned consolidation, you mentioned M&A activities. Is that something you think collection agencies should be looking at, or companies in the credit collection space should be looking at as a way to grow their business?
For rapid growth, and it really just depends on who you want to be as a company. We have acquired companies before, and it's a good way to acquire clients that, you know, sometimes you would not have an opportunity to be exposed to. In the same token, it's expensive, and you have to make sure that your cultures align, and you have to make sure that your core strengths can either overlay or complement one another, because when you acquire a company, it can go sideways very quickly. Once it does, it's hard to control. I worked for a company very early in my career that expanded very rapidly, and they didn't have the controls in place across their entire organization and ended up going out of business just due to lack of consistency within the organization. So, you know, just make sure you know what you want to be as a company, and make sure that that company that you're targeting or talking to, if that is part of your growth strategy, aligns with, you know, who and what you want your organization to be.
I would agree with that. Those are some good points. I've worked in other companies that did over time partner with other companies. For instance, we did not want to get into outsourcing for clinic billing. We had a lot of clients in the hospital side that were acquiring clinics and wanting help with that. And that's a lot of a different specialty for early out with clinics versus early out with hospitals. So we did do partnering, and the relationships are critical, and understanding what you're getting into are critical. But the biggest way to get to growth is to find companies and purchase them where the core competency already exists, as opposed to try and build it from scratch organically, which does take time.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Okay, good information. Thank you. I'm curious, you know, with the really, you know, I have to kind of sort of work it into to every webinar and every conversation at this point, because it's something that everyone's still very interested in, very focused on. But I'm curious if the release of the proposed debt collection rule from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau opened any new doors for collection agencies in terms of expansion or growth opportunities. Does anyone have thoughts on whether that happened? Oh, there you go. Awesome.
So with the proposed CFPB rule set, it, you know, the advent of email, text, digital communication channels, I personally work a lot within the machine learning environment. I'm kind of a data nut for those people who don't know me. I work with a company called Attunely, and they recently launched at a conference at the beginning of the year. And what we're exploring now is the various preferred channels of communication that a consumer would have, and how to relay that information in the best way possible so that we get a response from the consumer. So I believe that the new rule set will offer a tremendous amount of opportunity for, from a technology standpoint. And if you have the correct technologies in place to leverage it, it's going to offer some channels for us to reduce our staffing. From what I saw from the projections, we're expecting as a industry for our revenue to grow, but the number of actual individuals working in the industry, as in employees, decrease. And this is all based on technology and optimizing models that they've seen through other industries. So I think this is a tremendous opportunity, because there's a lot of just guessing and maybe fear of taking a step forward, utilizing the technologies until some case law broke, but getting a clear understanding of what we can and can't do, I think it's going to offer some very good opportunities for agencies to grow and expand their revenue. And I think it's going to continue to, you know, go into things that aren't developed yet.
Yeah, I definitely think that the technology piece and some of the updated definitions is only going to help agencies. And while we may not like everything that's in the proposed rules, I mean, it was pretty positive for the collection industry as a whole, provided it looks something like that when the final rules are made or promulgated. I think that having, you know, the definition of limited, you know, content messages and different requirements or abilities to communicate electronically, and that's the way that consumers want to be communicated with. We're definitely behind the times as an industry in communicating with consumers and their preferred communication method. So I think that as if you can continue to grow as an agency to develop partnerships with vendors that can improve upon the electronic modes of communication in a compliant way, I think that's definitely going to provide opportunities for collection agencies.
And I would support both of those viewpoints. I agree with that. It is nice to see that, at least from reading my digest sent by your company, that more and more judges are making common sense decisions that make it easier for us to get past these absolutely ridiculous frivolous lawsuits. And if we could make those costs go down, we could afford to do our jobs better. And I am optimistic for the future from that standpoint.
Excellent. Thank you. We did get a question that was submitted before the webinar started from someone who's interested in looking for some information. So I'm going to ask that now and also use it as an opportunity to remind everybody, if you have a question for the panel, please type it into your question tab on the Zoom webinar control panel now, and we'll try and get to it before the end of the conversation today. The question was, can the panel discuss the prospects of collecting on court-awarded monetary judgment? If they view this as a good class and maybe some of the difficulties in collecting judgments. Does anyone have any insights or opinions on that?
So our office does a lot of, pursues a lot of legal action. Of course, we also get accounts that are assigned to us that are already judgments. I think accounts that I'll kind of tackle it in both angles, the accounts that are assigned to us as a judgment, I would say are more difficult to collect. There's usually less information available that the creditor used in their legal action. And they may not be consumers that have the ability to pay. So I think those are a little bit more difficult. The accounts that we pursue and obtain a judgment on behalf of our client, I think those are definitely much more collectible. One is because of our requirements for internal practices on how we would pursue a legal action on an account. So we know that they have to have, or we only pursue legal action on consumers or businesses that have assets. So maybe they own property, have a full-time job, we have a bank account. Those sorts of things. But I will say judgments, a lot of times you're in it for the long haul. So you're probably going to be renewing judgments, and you know, down the road is when they become collectible. So sometimes it's not instantaneous to get a judgment and get it collected right away. Sometimes you are playing the long game. And we do have a lot of luck, not necessarily luck, but we have had a lot of success in the long game on judgments.
From my perspective, and I don't have an in-house attorney, so pursuing judgments can be expensive. So they're higher costs because as a collection agency, one of our biggest tools that we use to motivate people to pay their bills so that they don't get sued is the fear of it affecting their credit or going to judgment. Once that's already occurred, the attitude of the consumer might be different because they've already got the judgment against them and nothing bad happened, so they're content with letting it sit there. If you do find them, that might be when they decide to go ahead and file bankruptcy. The other issue with judgments that you have to manage is the expectations of the clients. And I find that a lot of the clients that are delivering these judgments to you think that they are much more collectible because the judge said, yes, this bill is a valid debt. That doesn't mean the people have the means to pay it. So when I start asking questions about, well, what created the debt and what information do you have to tell me that that person has the ability to pay that debt, I start really digging into what the liquidity of that paper is. So you have to manage the expectation of the client in order to be successful because as Courtney just pointed out, it is a long game and they have to know that it's a long game and it has to do with volume and it has to do with time.
So we collect on quite a few judgments, and from what I've seen, I'm going to agree with both individuals on this. It's best to collect from these accounts when there is something negatively affecting their current situation, like getting a home or applying for credit. If you see that their inquiries are spiking, it's usually a good time to contact them. So having the attributes from the credit bureau reporting agencies like an Experian or a TransUnion sending you information on triggers or I don't know what the other one is called off the top of my head, but having that attribute information in front of you and having it available for the collector and monitoring the behavior to understand what the life cycle typically looks like. You can usually find people that will resurface when they start looking for credit actively because it does negatively impact their score, and having a conversation with them is usually ends up in a payment for those types of accounts because they are looking to improve their situations at that point.
You also need to look at the cost to pursue the judgments outside your state. So if people move outside of the state of the judgment, there's additional costs related to that.
Good information. Thank you. Yep, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, in enforcement of a judgment outside of the state, you're probably going to have to hire, depending on what you need to do, if somebody's out of state, just like Bonnie said, there's going to be added costs. So even if you do have an in-house attorney, our attorney here only is licensed to practice law in California. So if I want to pursue legal action against somebody in another state, I do have to hire an attorney in that state in order to pursue that legal action. Or if maybe they moved and I already had a judgment, now I'm having to enforce that judgment in another state is more challenging and expensive. But I would say the biggest issue, which Bonnie touched on, is when you're having accounts that are assigned to you as a judgment, is managing that creditor or that client expectation. Because I think all of my clients that are one-time assigners for judgments think that we're only working their accounts and are very upset or frustrated by the process and how long it takes if we even are successful in collecting on a judgment.
Excellent. Thank you. Curious, wanted to ask the panel and get your thoughts on first-party collections and whether that was something that was an opportunity these days that was worth pursuing or not. Does anyone want to go first this time? I'll throw it open to any to whomever wants to chime in.
This is Bonnie. I can answer that. I do think it's a good opportunity because our environment is basically a call center. We know how to be effective in producing and managing production goals. And that is something that a lot of our clients don't see their operations as doing. It's easy to get bogged down in our client sites with a lot of other overhead. So if we can address the number one concern, which Steve pointed out earlier, is do we have the labor pool to be able to offer this to our clients? We can certainly deliver contact. That's what we know to do, is to be able to pick up the phone and generate contact. So first party, third party, it doesn't matter. We can produce by making contact. So the key to being successful in that is just making sure that the content of those contacts, the frequency and the volume, is comparable to what the client's expectation is and is not dramatically different initially from what the current community is used to, so that you don't set up a situation where you're so successful that you cause complaints. You've got to manage that a little bit, but you can deliver something that they don't do for themselves, which is managed by a production environment and deliver solid numbers where you can show what you're doing.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
I think that there's opportunity.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think that there's definitely opportunity on the first party side for exactly what Bonnie said. I do think you do want to also consider compliance under the FDCPA, and depending on where you're performing your collection work, California has our own FDCPA, Rosenthal Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, and that does apply to creditors as well. So it's important to make sure that you're looking at the compliance requirements in your state, of course, to make sure that you're following the rules and regulations, as well as just being prepared if you are asked a question or you do receive a frivolous lawsuit or a lawsuit of some sort, just really to make sure that you're able to perform the function compliantly.
Sure. And to add on to that, our core business is being a call center. And the core business of a bank or a lending institution or a hospital is really outside of being a call center. Usually where they put their IT, the focus on in their business is to produce revenue, not to recapture lost revenue. So we are typically, as an industry, a little ahead of the technologies that they use in this landscape. So we can often offer a better service than they could do internally. So I think that there is a very good amount of opportunity, not just on the national, very large company level, but also in the more regional, one of the clients I had at one point was a furniture store that was very geographically located, but didn't have the infrastructure in place through their growth to handle calls. And it turned out to be a very good situation for both of us. So yes, I think that it's a tremendous opportunity, and one that I think is going to continue to grow.
All right, we spent almost the better part of an hour talking about a lot of different opportunities within the credit and collection industry to expand, be it geographically, be it into new products, be it into sort of deeper into your own market, M&A, first party, the list is pretty long. I'm curious, how do you recommend a collection agency approach expanding its operation in today's economic climate? I want to get bigger. I want to grow my agency. Where do I look? How do I sort of evaluate all of those different options? What are some of the, maybe the initial steps that an agency should be taking to sort of go through that evaluation process? Courtney, would you mind going first?
Well, I would say if you're looking to expand into different regions, do you want to have a client that is there that is basically paying you to expand in a sense into that region? So obviously you don't want to be taking their accounts in that state until you have until you're licensed, but that's the perfect way if you're not nationally licensed to start deciding what regions you want to get into. If you already have that built-in client base. I would say if you're talking about expanding into different markets and different areas of your business, then again, it goes to having a client. And do you have a client that is wanting you to expand into that? And what is your what is the cost benefit if you are successful in collecting those accounts? What can you expect or anticipate in recoveries and those sorts of things? So I'd say those two suggestions for expanding.
So before I would get into a new market, there would be several steps that I would go through. First of all, you need to determine what your core competency is. What is the thing that you're the best at? And then identify a segment that you want to look at and see how big is that market. If you're going to pick, say, ambulance districts, how many of them are there in the territory? I think that you need to be able to differentiate yourself. There's a lot of competition. So one of the things that you might want to consider is hiring a marketing firm to help you create a marketing plan to focus on your core strengths and how to differentiate yourself, and then follow the plan. And it would take an investment, and be prepared not to underfund it, because some of the best ideas, if they're underfunded, never get off the ground.
So in my current business, we have just gone through this, and we looked at this as a growth opportunity through contracting, which sounds like an anomaly, but growing our revenue through reducing our operating expenses. And, you know, we achieved this through the machine learning model that was offered by Attunely. And what we've discovered is we were able to increase our liquidation rates and identified a number of areas where we could save on our operating expenses. And it has now allowed us to reinvest the savings that we had. And we're currently now bidding on different placements of business that will allow us to expand our current infrastructure out based on the contraction of seats that were required. We still have the same amount of seats that can be allocated towards a client. It allowed us to grow our business pool that we take on a placement basis due to just optimizing our collection model.
Excellent. Thank you. Bonnie, I wanted to go back to something you said, and I think it's actually something Courtney mentioned earlier, but understanding your core competencies and sort of what you do better than everybody else. Is there a process for sort of figuring that out as well?
Talk to your clients.
Yes, you can make it as complicated as you want, but your clients will give you the feedback, exactly. And early on, in the first couple of years of business, I did a survey, and I did it more as part of an RFP I knew that was coming up that was a pretty big one. So I wanted to hear from my existing clients what was working, what wasn't, and where I needed to focus. And so I just did a client survey. I did have a firm help me with that, and they helped me put together a PowerPoint presentation that was spectacular, and it helped me win the bid. But it was a good exercise. So your clients will tell you if you have enough clients to give you some background, but you can also look at your own operation and look at where we kind of know where our strengths and resources are. And again, we're only as good as the people that work for us. So look at your staffing, look at your openings, look at your turnover, look at your revenue sources. Are those related to certain teams of people? So it just takes some self-analysis, and the hardest time is finding time outside of your daily work to spend to look at that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think making it, checking in with your clients, looking at your where you're performing. And I know IntelliTech Group is sponsoring, but we do use their analytics, and it's super helpful to determine what states we do the best work in, and what our how collectible accounts are, and what's really that range of collectibility. You know, and before we were doing pretty good, but you know, now we're able to see that we're collecting, you know, basically 90% of all accounts in that first 180 days. So, you know, knowing that and then being able to target your dialing around collecting accounts in that first 180 days, or even trying to expand past that 180 day window, is huge. So the data, having the data, analyzing the data, and then implementing that data to pursue new clients or to manage existing clients is big.
I also like to go outside of my own company and even without outside of my own client base and talk to other agency owners or executives to see what they're doing, what they're offering, and what successes they've had. It opens up some opportunities, but it also lets you have this aha moment of, yeah, we really do this well. And that is really one of our points of differentiation, because these similar companies don't do what I do specifically.
Great point.
Excellent. Well, we've only got a couple of minutes left, but before I wrap up and let everybody go, I'd like to go around the panel one more time and maybe get any parting words of wisdom or key takeaways, or even something you wanted to get, maybe we're looking to address today, but the discussion just didn't get around to it, but still think it's important. Just any sort of summary from each of you, if you don't mind. Stephen, would you mind going first?
Sure. I really think that clients now are expecting more than ever of an agency to perform, and they expect it to be done cheaper. And we've seen our margins dwindle in the process. So like the sponsor IntelliTech, we happen to use Attunely. Getting some type of company in your business to take an outside look and optimize the way you do business, I think is paramount in the next few years. We've seen it be very disruptive in other industries, but we're slow adopters. So, you know, this new opportunity that we have with the methods of communication, I think that from a standpoint of data, being able to aggregate and understand the information is going to be paramount in the next few years.
Excellent. Good tip. Thank you. Bonnie.
I would say just be open to new markets. While we are predominantly medical, we do have other areas that we collect in. And one market that we got into and never expected to is because a friend of mine sent me an article out of the local newspaper that said local school district having trouble getting school lunches paid for. And they are now my client. We did a pilot test for them so that they could see whether this was a collectible business. And they're now in my top 20 clients.
Wow. Very cool. Courtney.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably the something that our company uses is a lot, and lean, I guess, would be the better terminology, is really to lean on your vendor partners. You know, there's so many out there that are creating these new and have these great ways of communicating with consumers and then managing the database and providing you reports and those sorts of things. So, I mean, whether that's a payment portal vendor or a client access portal vendor or even your collection software vendor or somebody that's going to provide you with direct drop abilities like VoApps or IntelliTech Group for providing business analytics and helping you to determine reports to run and using those reports find performance indicators and to develop targets. And I would second Bonnie by saying that don't be afraid to expand into different markets and taking a chance on those markets if something comes to the table that's not necessarily your niche area. You know, take advantage of those opportunities.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Before I wrap up for today, I want to thank everybody for participating, especially Bonnie, Courtney, and Steve. Thank you very much for your time and insights. I really appreciate all the information you provided. Also want to thank Intellitech Group one more time for sponsoring today's webinar. Please go to www.intellitechgroup.com to learn more about the company. Thanks to everybody who participated and listened in. One final reminder to please take a minute and fill out the feedback survey and keep an eye out for the email tomorrow with the link to download the white paper from Intellitech Group. Really would appreciate it. I hope everyone stays tuned to accountsrecovery.net for news and more webinars in the near future. Panel, great job. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.